Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, my good friend, Harris Wishard. What's up, Harris?
What's up, man? Another year under the books for you.
Yes.
In the books, excuse me. And, you know, I definitely missed hearing from you. It's been a little bit and a lot's going on in the world of basketball. And we're going to get to all that. But obviously, special congratulations to Dirk Nowitzki, who is one of the probably the best international player of all time. And the accomplishment last night was spectacular. It was nice to see him in front of the home crowd get to 30,000. It was a nice environment for him.
Yeah, we have a great show for you guys. Like Harris said, we haven't spoken in a while, so a lot to cover. But let's start with Dirk. You know, congrats to him joining the 30K club. He's had a great career. Where would you rank Dirk in terms of all-time power forwards?
That's a tough question. I was hearing a lot of, you know, is he top 15? Is he top 20 all-time? I think he's going to finish somewhere in between 15 and 20, which would definitely put him in the conversation of top five power forwards of all time. Definitely, to me, the most offensively consistent power forward of all time. And, you know, you hear the likes of Tim Duncan, who I think is in a different category. I would put Duncan up above Dirk. I would probably leave Dirk. What would you think? I'm going to think between, you know, three and five.
I put him in the top five. I don't think he's one or two. There's so many great power forwards. It's obviously so hard to compare players. I didn't even want to bring up the all-time player discussion because that's just like a ton right there. But definitely top five power forward of all time. I think one great thing about Dirk, obviously, he was so effective. He's still effective now. But for a period of time, you really couldn't defend him when he had that step back, that one leg fadeaway shot, and everybody was trying to do it. You even see a lot of NBA players added to their game now. LeBron tried it, Kevin Durant. So he's changed the game. And he's also, I think he changed the game in a sense, he's interested a lot more international players.
For sure.
You know, like somebody to look towards. Obviously, I think Kristaps has probably looked at Dirk's game a bit. Like any international big that's shooting the ball from three-point range, I'm sure Dirk had an impact on them, or even just the overall NBA, because if you look at the NBA now, fours kind of have to shoot threes or at least have some type of jump shot.
Yeah. Well, there's that whole this could be me type of
exactly
to what Dirk brings to the table. And, you know, obviously we speak about Duncan and he's in a class of his own. But after that, I mean, you could throw the mailman in there for sure. But, I mean, Dirk, Garnett, there was a poll, an interesting poll on Mike and Mike this morning that was, you know, who had the best NBA career out of Dirk, Kevin Garnett, Iverson, and Nash. They asked you to rank them. And, you know, definitely the argument between Nowitzki and Garnett can be had. You know, Nowitzki one ring, Garnett one ring. You know, obviously Dirk, I think the more polished offensive player, Garnett, obviously the better defensive player. But, you know, that year that he had in 07, I know they lost in the first round. And then that run they had in the 2011 NBA Finals, the 13-time All-Star, 12-time All-NBA. I mean, the accolades go on. And, you know, consistency, loyalty, one franchise. And he's meant a ton to that city. And, you know, tip of the hat to last night to Dirk and everything that he's accomplished. It's nice to always see those celebrations and towards the end of their careers. You know, it reminds you of, you know, what Kobe and Jeter and baseball goes through. It's nice to have, you know, somebody like that remembered in that light.
Yeah, exactly. And you brought it up, you know, the 2011 championship and the run that Dirk had. I know some people mentioned yesterday of how that playoff run that he had will go down and his performance.
Well, and another thing, you could always kind of tell about a guy based off the kind of reaction he gets when something goes well for him or he reaches a milestone.
Yeah, he's very humble.
The amount of you know, overwhelming support that he's received. And before we got on, we mentioned, you know, LeBron reached out to him and Nash, obviously. And just it goes to show you, I mean, KP and obviously has aspirations to be in this category. Who knows where his career will go? But to get booed on draft night like Dirk did, and to have a rough rookie season, think about going back to Germany and then rip off some of the best offensive seasons ever we've seen from a forward. It's just a remarkable turnaround, and obviously credit to him and that organization for sticking with him. Amazing story.
Well, I think that's also an interesting point. He's done it with the same team his whole career. And that's something that's very rare, especially now in the NBA. So shout out to Dirk and the Mavs. And I saw an interesting tweet. It was like, find somebody that loves you like the way Mark Cuban loves Dirk.
He started crying.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, like, congrats to Dirk. And let's talk a little bit about the Warriors.
Yep.
Obviously, the Warriors lost Kevin Durant. We talked about that last episode, but we wanted to check back in on them. Since then, they lost that game where they lost them against the Wizards. They lost the next game. They had consecutive losses for the first time. And I know you probably know this. How many games?
146.
146 games. So first time they had consecutive losses, and that was to the Wizards and the Bulls.
Twitter will be quick to remind you they lost three straight in a 3-1 fashion to Cleveland, but this is obviously regular season games we're talking about right now.
Yeah, exactly. This is regular season. They did beat the Knicks on Sunday by 7 points, and then they beat the Hawks by 8 points. So obviously you're a big Warriors guy. You like Steph Curry. What have you noticed different without Durant? Do you see any underlining issues that kind of might scare you if you're a Warriors fan?
I don't think so. I mean, to me, the biggest thing was when Durant went out was this is not the same team. Like a lot of people have mentioned, oh, they'll just do what they did last year. Well, first off, you're 65 games into a season playing a certain system. And of course, Durant plays a major role in that system. And that's what was difficult to do. Not easy to pick up where you left off last year. Plus, there's other personnel that's not in the picture right now that makes that kind of difficult as well. But I think they're starting to find their legs a little bit, and I think they'll be able to maintain the number one seed. I know there's been a lot of talk about the Spurs overcoming them, but I see them getting their legs under them a little bit, and I've tuned into a little bit the Knicks game on Sunday and then Atlanta that they beat, but they get some home cooking too tonight. I know Boston's a tough matchup, but for me, now that they're back home, they'll get settled in a little bit and be able to finish strong. They were also in the midst of a long road trip when this happened, which is another factor to consider. But I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily see them missing Durant to the point where it costs them the number one seed right now.
I mean, I think it's a bigger possibility than I originally thought when we talked about it last time. Obviously, just Chicago gets up for games, but scoring 87 against them kind of made me a little nervous. And it's not like they blew out the Knicks. The Hawks game, they did win by 8. I think we'll know a little bit more about them after this week, though. They have a matchup, like you said, against Boston tonight, and then Saturday they face off against the Spurs. And the Spurs are 2.5 games back right now, so that could be a big game.
Yep.
We know Pop doesn't really care that much about the regular season, but he could see the interest in the first seed and that home court advantage. So, I mean, I think since last time we talked, I see it as a bigger possibility. It's also been the play of the Spurs and of Kawhi Leonard. So I think it could happen. Where last episode I wasn't so sure, but now I think it could happen.
Well, yeah, those two matchups are definitely going to be big. They have this Saturday game in San Antonio is definitely going to be a big one. But, you know, it was interesting. I don't know if you saw that audio clip with Curry and Kerr, and Kerr encouraging him, talking about the shooting numbers and, you know, how you still affect us on the floor plus minus wise. That the Knicks definitely stuck with them on Sunday with the musicless first half. I know you heard about that as well.
Yeah.
And then they turned it back on, and then there go the Warriors. They're making a big deal out of that. That was crazy to me that they were making a big deal out of that. But, yeah, then they pick up the Atlanta victory. But this stretch is definitely going to be interesting.
Even the T-Wolves game on Friday, you know, that's not an easy game. Uh-huh. Like, not like the T-Wolves are just going to like, oh, hey, it's the Warriors. Did they beat them, like, over the last two seasons once or twice?
I'm not sure about this year. They've definitely played them tough.
Yeah, like the two previous seasons. I think they might have beaten them once or definitely played them a real close. So, and, I mean, Towns and Wiggins have definitely cooked a little bit. So that could be a good game. And then they have to go into San Antonio and play the Spurs. So,
yeah, I mean, I didn't think that, you know, I mentioned the Chicago. Chicago over the years has been that, like, kind of streak-busting team. Mm-hmm. I know it's a different team now than it's been over the last couple of years, but that was an impressive streak, and they held the Warriors to what, under 100 for the, was it the first time all year? It definitely was one of the few times. I think they were held under 90. I know they're not held under 90 very often.
Yeah, it's rare to see that for sure. And the Warriors also have a tough stretch at the end of March where they have the Rockets on March 28th, the Spurs on March 29th, and then the Rockets again on March 31st, and then the Wizards on April 2nd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but they do have some easy stretch too in the season. So, I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. We didn't think it would be a possibility that anybody would catch them for that first seed all season long, but we also didn't think Kevin Durant would get injured.
I misspoke. It was the second time they were held under 100. In that other game, they also got held under 90. They lost to the Grizzlies 110-89. So, yeah. But it's like I said, it's going to be fun to watch this take place. And
well, it's nice to see there's more of a competitiveness at the top. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice to see that we can actually see teams compete for the first seed and it's not like a runaway.
Another storyline as well.
And, exactly.
Another thing to follow. And like you mentioned with Pop, it's not necessarily something that he cares about that much. We saw Cleveland win two games in Golden State in June. In order to beat this team, though, it would definitely to beat this team in the playoffs, to have a decisive game on your floor will make a big difference.
Without Durant, if say the Spurs and Warriors match up in the finals, I mean in the Western Conference Finals, and for some reason Durant couldn't come back or there's some type of injury, like further injury, do you think the Spurs could beat them in a 7-game series?
The way Leonard's playing right now, and I know – we'll get into that and talk about it. I think it's a surefire possibility. I definitely wouldn't pick against them right now, Golden State, but I could definitely see the Spurs, the way they're playing right now and the way Leonard's played, proposing a serious threat, although I do still think Houston is the biggest threat to them, even a bigger threat to than a bigger threat than San Antonio, as crazy as that might sound, just because of the styles of play. But – yeah, I definitely think it's a possibility, but I'd still lean towards Golden State. I think they're going to get their legs under them, Nick. I think these next couple weeks are going to be interesting, and you know the Boston game tonight is a start of it. But I couldn't pick against them right now in the playoffs, not yet.
Not yet. That's a fair point. We got some time, and obviously there's still a month before the postseason starts. But you mentioned it, Kawhi Leonard, and the way he's been playing. A game last week against Houston. You know, Kawhi hit a huge three, and then on the other end of the floor, he goes up and blocks a shot, a chase down block, and he grabs the rebound as well. I mean, this guy is doing everything. He's definitely in the MVP race for myself. Where would you put him in the MVP race? And do you think there's any fair point to say that he should be the MVP because of what he does on both sides of the floor?
This is a tough one. He's definitely put his name in the hat in a serious way, meaning before I kind of considered him an MVP candidate. Now I'm kind of really paying attention to him. You know what I mean? It's one of those situations where he was here. It was there. He was on little, I'd probably say one tier under those other great players like Westbrook and Harden and LeBron even. And now I think he's taken that level up. And now I think we're actually in for a race now.
Yeah, I mean, I think he, like you said, you know, people were kind of just throwing him there as a candidate, not right. Any real chance that he could win. But now after the performances he's had, and if somehow the Spurs were able to lock up that number one seed, that would be a big deal. You know what I mean? In terms of MVP race, the wins do matter, even though, you know, people will say they don't. And I think, like, the really good argument, I'd really like to see, maybe I'll have an OTG writer come up with this, is, you know, the argument for Kawhi as MVP because of his defensive ability. And, you know, obviously he's not – I don't think he's been as crazy on defense as he has in the last few seasons because he's been – had such a higher offensive load. So, I mean, but I still think he's obviously playing a higher level of defense than James Harden or Russell Westbrook are. So – and he's averaging, I think, what, around like 26 a game?
In order. Give me your order right now, 1 through 4 of most to most likely to least likely out of the four guys we've mentioned win the MVP award.
Well, if you're asking me who's likely to win or who I think should win, it's different.
All right, let's your personal opinion.
I mean, I would really have to sit down and think about Kawhi. It's right now, I think if Russell Westbrook is still averaging a triple-double at the end of the season just because of that mark alone, and let's say the Thunder have at least 45 wins, I would give it to Westbrook. And I'd probably still put Harden second, then I'd put Kawhi. And then fourth, I'd probably have LeBron James. I would have had Kevin Durant, but with the injury, he's probably going to take him out of the race.
So wait, you have – say that one more. You had Harden.
I had Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, right, and so LeBron.
You put Kawhi over LeBron.
Yeah.
All right, fair. I think Kawhi can make that jump over Harden. I really think
he could. Yeah, honestly, if I had spent more time researching it and looking into it. But it, also the thing with James Harden is, you know, he's top five in points per game and I think number one in assists in the league. So the amount of contributions he's having on the offensive end are pretty crazy.
Nuts. It really is.
But I really like Kawhi. And it, like I said, the Spurs kind of – like we still have some time left. You know, the MVP race isn't already decided. Some people are going to say, well, how can you not pick Westbrook? He's averaging a triple-double. Yeah, he is. But what happens if the Thunder just hardly hang on for the playoffs? And like we saw last night, Westbrook put up 58 points, but the Thunder lost.
Yeah, Charles Barkley's been making the argument that less is more there for him.
I don't agree with Barkley in that sense, but I mean – it's just hard for people to give the award to somebody whose team is not one of the top teams in the league. But who knows? Westbrook could kind of change that up with the statistics he's doing. It's kind of hard to ignore them.
Definitely hard to ignore. And the fact that they're going to make the playoffs, at least. The criteria for a fit, usually it's – I think if you look at the award, the team's won at least 50 games, I think, almost every single time, or at least
– majority of the time.
Almost every time, and you know that 35-29 record, they're going to get in, and it's just they're not going to be. I would assume they're a first round exit, and you know I think they'll win probably what 46-47 games, maybe at the most.
Yeah, and I mean that might be enough to get them the award, but it could be interesting though. If the Warriors drop to the number two seed, and the OKC stays in the seventh seed, we got an OKC Warriors matchup in the first round.
Oof,
and that would definitely be some interesting stuff. I want to ask you about Isaiah Thomas talking about the MVP race. I know a lot of people put him in the MVP race. What do you think about him? Do you think he deserves to be in that conversation, or, you know, his lack of defense doesn't allow him to be there?
He's going to finish top seven, top six, maybe. I don't know who else you'd slide in there, to be an MVP candidate, but if you look in the Eastern Conference, to me, it's between him and Wall, who's been the most valuable player outside of LeBron. If you had a most valuable player award given in the Eastern Conference, to me, it'd be a toss-up between John Wall and Isaiah Thomas. And I'm not just looking specifically at Isaiah Thomas's points per game and saying this guy deserved the award. But he's been clutch, and he's been Mr. Fourth Quarter this year, and he's taken them from a pretender to a contender in my eyes and a team that could threaten the Cleveland Cavaliers if all the chips fall in the Celtics' favor. But I don't consider – he's borderline top five right now in the MVP discussion. Is Dickey still doing the rankings on – is the MVP chase?
Well, Dickey actually filled in for Jonathan, who does them regularly. Jonathan, I think, will have an article out on Monday for the updated ranking. So I don't think he'll have him in the top five, but I don't know. Maybe he'll surprise me. I think – like, yeah, obviously he scores a lot of points, and the effectiveness of doing it in the fourth quarter is huge. But I think when you look at it as, you know, he's a liability every time coming up and down the floor, and it's not like he really can do much to be a better defender. I hate, like, picking on him because it's his size and him being small, you know, and it's like people are going to think that I hate him, but I actually like Isaiah Thomas. I like watching him. I just don't think – I think his impact on the one end is so bad. And then people probably bring in, well, what about James Harden? Well, Harden can play defense when he tries. It's not like he can never play and he never plays defense. Even when Isaiah Thomas really plays defense at some matchups, he's just going to be so undersized that he's not going to be able to do much to the offensive player. And that's what I've heard a lot of arguments and talk about. No, Boston can't really beat the Cavs in a matchup because what are they going to do with Isaiah Thomas? Who's he going to defend? He can't guard Kyrie. What are they going to put him on, J.R. Smith?
Yeah, and not to mention, I know I'm talking about Wall again, but Wall has, to me, made more plays also with averaging 10.6 assists a game compared to the 6.3 of Isaiah. Isaiah has been, don't get me wrong, has been terrific, but if I'm starting my team tomorrow, I'm going to take
John Wall for sure, yeah.
So Isaiah has been terrific. He's going to finish top six, top seven in the MVP race, but I think if the Wizards make a late push, Wall could even finish ahead of him in the MVP race.
That'd be interesting. I mean, if the Wizards do jump him, I really like the Wizards because they just have so much young talent, and you can see that talent kind of work well together. And then that Bogdanović pickup has been pretty good for them. I think he scored 27 last night. He scored 27 another game for them already, and he had 8 threes in a game for them. So I mentioned it before, him being able to be like a third or fourth option with players like John Wall and Bradley Beal on the floor is going to make his life so easy. He's going to get jump shots that he's never had before.
Definitely.
So – but talking about the Eastern Conference, it was kind of a weird moment because I think Andrew Bogut was playing his first like 30 seconds for the Cavs.
Ah, man.
And he had a fracture in his knee or his leg?
His leg. Tibia. His leg.
Yeah, tibia. And I was just like, I remember watching the game and I was like, I saw it and I was like, what the f-?
Yeah, that was crazy, man.
I mean, we're like, do you think it's going to have a huge impact? They might go out and sign another center today or tomorrow or in the next week or two.
It's possible. I mean, I don't think they have to.
Yeah. Well, I think they would just want to fill out the roster for the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen. There's been a lot of talk about them picking up somebody like Larry Sanders, who would be an athletic player. He hasn't obviously been in the NBA for a few seasons, so.
Yeah, LeBron said he heard the leg crack when he was on the floor.
He said, I heard it, and I was like, oh. Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt that the Deron Williams signing was actually a bigger signing for them than the Andrew Bogut one.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Because you could kind of see that, like, Deron kind of still has some juice left in the tank. And when he's cooking, he can still cook a little bit and he can help you out. And you know he's a veteran. He hasn't had much, recent postseason success, so he needs to do something.
For sure. And there's actually some breaking news out of the Eastern Conference. I don't know if you heard about this, but – the Nets have been the first team in the NBA to officially been eliminated from postseason contention.
Oh, great. Great news, Harris. Well, guess what? I'm going to turn that around and I'm going to shout out the Nets.
Okay.
Who beat the Memphis Grizzlies the other night. Great effort. Jeremy Lin picked it up in the fourth quarter. Caris LeVert showed me some things. Sean Kilpatrick played nice. So, I mean, the Nets with Jeremy Lin back I've already had 2 wins, which is more than they probably had like all in 2017 so far.
Yeah,
so they're going to be more enjoyable to watch for the last month of the season. And, I mean, like, people are going to be like, oh, you're fucking crazy. But yeah. I'm actually excited to watch the Nets and, like, watch them go forward. Obviously, they're starting from the bottom. It's like I don't have much expectation. So every little bit of progress is nice to see.
Yeah, and last two things I want to point out. And, you know, looking at the bottom of the Western Conference, the way Seth Curry has played – and the way the Dallas Mavericks have played, I think they're a legitimate threat for the 8th seed.
For sure.
I think with the way Curry has played. And,
you know, Dirk. Dirk.
Yeah, no joke with the way Nowitzki has shot the ball and continued to play at this level at this age. And I don't –
but Portland's starting to pick it up too.
Portland with another win in OKC last night, their third of the they won that season series over the Thunder 3-1. And the Pelicans, with the addition of Bogey Cousins, it hasn't looked exactly right so far. I know it's only been a few games, but it doesn't look like they'll be able to make up that ground, which means –
now they're hoping for a high lottery pick in one of the top three because their pick is top three protected. So if somehow they landed with one of those top three picks, it could be, you know, huge. They would get one of these top three players, add it with Cousins and Anthony Davis, or maybe even trade it for another big-time player.
Yeah, so I would think that both – there are two – I mean, I guess you can call them superstars that are going to be out of the postseason this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think the trade was just a little bit too late. Like, I wasn't like, oh, my God, like, they're definitely going to jump it because they were still pretty far behind, and looks like Portland and Dallas have picked it up. I mean, Dallas has really played good for, like, the last month or so. They kind of changed it around from being maybe the worst team to start the season to being a lot better, and – you know, it's been Yogi Ferrell, Seth Curry, Harrison Barnes, Dirk, and that Nerlens Noel pickup. He's had some nice games for them. I know fantasy-wise he's helped me out a little bit too. So, I mean, that West, that's going to be a fun race. Even in the East too, you look at that Eastern Conference playoff race at the bottom, there's still a few teams that are in contention. And then we kind of don't even know where any of these teams are going to end up because they're so close. You know, there's only about three games between the 5th and 8th seed.
It's gonna wait in the East.
Yeah,
it could. There a lot can happen at the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, at the top of the East too. I mean, the Cavs are only up 3 games on Boston. Boston's only up 1 game on Washington, and Washington's only up a game and a half on Toronto.
Amazing.
So it's, I mean, a lot of people complain about the NBA. Oh, you know, this is meaningless basketball. It doesn't really matter to the postseason. I only watch XX game, but like, no, these games are really starting to matter. And like I said, I think on a previous podcast, I like watching this last stretch of the season because you're more likely to see what you're going to see in the playoffs from these players when they're going at it late in 2 minutes when the game matters a lot for that seeding.
I still think that the Cavaliers and Warriors are both secure, the number one seeds, but to see who gets in will be fun. The race to see who gets in, the bottom, those eights, you know, the Bulls, Heat. The Heat still have an opportunity. I think it would be pretty cool to see the Cavs and the Heat in the first round.
I mean, I think if the Heat get in the playoffs, like I probably – it would be hard. I mean, I don't think it would happen, but I would want to give Coach of the Year to Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, wow.
Because you think about the roster they had, the turnaround they had, the winning streak they had, and it's not like they have a super talented team. Their best player, Chris Bosh, who they recently released, didn't play all season. So, you know, he's done a lot, and Hassan Whiteside has had his fair – that team has been banged up. Winslow's been out. He's been out pretty much the whole season. So, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit. They brought up D-leaguers to come in and play, and they've made an impact.
Yeah, it got as bad as 11-30.
Yeah, and I mean, they like Spoelstra has a guy like Dion Waiters like being a scary scorer in the NBA.
19-4 since January 13th.
That's huge, right before you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a ball club right now that with Dragic and Whiteside, obviously they'll, you know, won't make a deep run in the postseason, but to turn the season around the way they have and to beat some of the, you know, marquee teams in the league. I know LeBron missed one of those Cleveland games, but
and they also beat the Warriors this year too.
Golden State and, you know, Houston and Atlanta, Indiana, teams that are, you know, playoff caliber basketball teams. And you know, it's like you said, it probably will not happen, but Spoelstra will be in the top three, I think, for coach of the year candidates.
Yeah. So, but that wraps it up for today. And as always, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Saturday. We'll be talking OTG rankings page and a lot more stuff. So definitely check it out and definitely hit that subscribe button and
enjoy the 12-game night, guys. And see you later.